No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
I'm sure there is with Simon this week. All right. Welcome back to another Wisco Fanatics Tuesday night. This is when our Packer shows are going to be from now on. So all of our Packer shows will be on Tuesday for the 2024 season. But today we are back and we're going to be talking about the defensive picks. Last week was offense. This week we're talking defense and what we think their roles are going to be. So we're going to get into it right now.
Welcome to another live episode of the Wisco Fanatics Show, where we discuss the Packers, Bucs, Brewers, Badgers football, and basketball from an optimistic perspective. Wisco Fanatics is brought to you by Cardboard Legacy, Wisconsin's most complete sports card shop. Buy, sell, grade, and consign all at their location in Oshkosh.
Welcome to another episode of Wisco Fanatics, Packers 2024 NFL Defensive Picks episode. Myself, Tyler, and Simon is here. Bryant was raging, apparently, and knocked down his garage door. So we can say whatever we want because he's not here to defend himself. But
on a serious note, into it.
There is a tornado watch in lots of counties all over the state of Wisconsin. So we want everybody to be safe. Go in your basement, turn on your laptop, and join the discussion about the Packers' defensive picks, because that's what we're going to talk about. You can ask questions, and we'll answer them to the best of our abilities. But with that being said, Simon, how you doing, buddy?
You know, a little bit under the weather, but other than that, just working. Went to a military ball last weekend. I don't remember much of it, so it was kind of nice.
That's good. What was that the reason for those uncomfortable shoes last week? How did they work out?
I don't remember it.
Well, hey, count that as a win, dude.
That'll be better than a win, I would imagine.
Don't worry, Wolf Part 2 is coming this year. I'll send you guys pictures.
No thanks. Two wolves, one hill. Got it. All right, we're talking.
You guys doing all right?
We're talking defensive draft picks today. Last week was offense. If you're interested, go back, check that out. We talked about all the offensive draft picks and what we think their roles are going to be for 2024. Today we're doing the defensive guys. We kind of split it up because last year we did it all but once and it ended up being like a 3.5 hour show. So this year we split it up into offense and defense and we have it going that way. So we're going to start with the first pick that was made for the defensive side of the ball, Edgerrin Cooper. And Simon, I'll go to you first. What did you think of the Edgerrin Cooper pick? Save your thoughts on the role until we all say some thoughts, but then we'll come back to that.
Yeah, I think if I remember correctly, when we were talking linebackers and our rankings, all of us had Edge Cooper at number one. So, and obviously, going into the draft, the linebacker was definitely one of the top needs of the team. So, this was a great pick in my eyes. Great size and sideline to sideline speed. I think he's one of the best spy linebackers I've seen. Able to spy the quarterback. He has a lot of the same qualities that I think the Packers liked about Quay Walker when he was coming out too. Almost got ahead of myself.
Settle down.
My bad. I'll step back.
All right. Jake, what did you think of the pick?
Well, I loved it. I think he's a great athlete, and I agree. He kind of is like a Quay Walker 2.0. He's just a guy that can run sideline to sideline. He looks like he's super long. He can go rush the quarterback. He can cover running backs, cover tight ends. He could spy quarterbacks. I mean, he does really everything that they like. So, and his new defensive scheme, which we talked last week, it's going to be a lot of 4-2-5, right? You put a Quay Walker. You put a Quay Walker Jr. You just have them running around. You have we now have two safeties that can cover and go crazy. I mean, this new defense is going to be insane and athletic. And they got good size, too. So I really like the Edgerrin Cooper pick. Very, very good pass rusher. Underrated part of his game.
Yeah, and he's not a huge missed tackle guy. He's at 12.8%. That's okay. It's kind of in the gray area of where I'm starting to be like, okay, let's bring that down a little bit. However, looking at his coverage numbers, they're not great. They're not awful, similar to his missed tackle percentage, but I think that's going to lead to him being used as more of a middle linebacker than an off ball. But I do think, Jake, I agree with you that the 4-2-5 is going to be where he's really going to shine, essentially having two middle linebackers on the field and zero, quote, outside linebackers.
Yeah.
So the other thing with him, he lays the wood. And he's got great speed, great burst. If he can get his missed tackle percentages down, it's really an opportunity for him to actually be like a menace in the passing game. And then looking at it when he was drafted, I know we talked about this when we were live with Lombardi Time Brews with John and Claudia, his reaction to being drafted by the Packers just really continues the string of drafting guys that have great character. So I love seeing stuff like that and seeing Edgerrin Cooper nearly in tears being drafted by the Packers. So that, and then looking at Jordan Reed from ESPN, he had him as the number one linebacker in the class. Dane Brugler had him at the number two linebacker in the class. I think two of our consensus number one linebacker. I think I had him number two on my list, but a 9-13 RAS. I mean, there's really nothing to not like about Edgerrin Cooper unless you are super stingy on missed tackle percentages.
Yeah.
But okay. That said, Simon, what do you think his role is going to be in 2024?
Yeah, I had him pinned as the immediate linebacker next to Quay in the 4-2-5.
Jake, what do you think?
I think we're going for consensus here. I think I have him as well. I know that I have him as a starter. I wrote down starter right next to his name. He's a starter right next to Quay Walker, and he's going to cause some havoc, man. We are going to have so many athletes on the field. It's going to be disgusting.
It's going to be super fun, too, and they're going to be so young. Like, even thinking about, like, the free agent signing that they made, Xavier McKinney's 24.
Dude, the Packers got younger than last year, which is insanity. They got younger.
And probably better.
Definitely better.
So, I also think Edgerrin Cooper is going to be a starting linebacker. If they're in a three-linebacker set, it's probably going to be Quay, Cooper, and McDuffie. Right now are the three that I'm looking at if you're putting three linebackers on the field. Yeah. And then who you put on the outside. I mean, it's going to be McDuffie and one of the other two, obviously. Yeah. But whichever one it is, I don't think really matters. So that's just one of those things where if you have Cooper in the middle and Quay on the outside and then they motion somebody, you're not going to be mad at whoever ends up switching onto somebody or if they're playing man-to-man and they're staying with whoever they are with.
Right.
So either way, I think you're good. All right. Savage Inc. said there's going to be a couple of rookie starters, I think. Ooh, hold that thought, because we're going to get into what's up, Justin? Welcome back. We're going to get into the next one. Let's go to Javon Bullard. Jake, this is your guy, so I'm going to let you talk. Give your thoughts first on the pick.
Yeah, very easily my favorite pick of the draft. If you joined us during rounds one, two, or three, you saw Tyler and I. Simon was a trooper and stayed for literally. he stayed for the whole draft with Lombardi Time Brews. They're awesome, by the way. Go check them out. But I was just begging for Javon Bullard because this guy is just a heat-seeking missile. You want to talk about a guy that leaves the wood. He sees you over the middle, and he's just like, okay, buddy, you think you're going to go over the middle? You better think about that. Bam, bam, chopping the tree down. I mean, absolutely just a monster. I just wrote dog three times in all capital letters because that's exactly what he is. He is an absolute stud. I agree, Justin. He can cover. He can run with anybody. He can run deep, run intermediate. He's very good at diagnosing plays in front of him. And he's a hitter. He's going to be a really great compliment next to Xavier McKinney. Wink.
Simon, what did you think about the Javon Bullard pick?
Yeah, I was pretty high on this pick as well. But yeah, I mean, Jake hit a lot of it. He's a really fearless tackler for his size. Maybe a little bit undersized, at 5'10", 5'11", just a little under 200. But he's a great competitor. And he has a lot of versatility in his game, the way that Georgia played him. In 2022, he took a lot of slot snaps. In 2023, he played a lot of that deep safety. So it's a little bit of versatility in there.
Yeah, Jake talked about him being a guy that's not afraid to lay the wood. He just gets to be another guy who goes from the black and red G to the green and gold G. Justin said, go Dogs. Blue is an absolute stud. Just another guy coming from Georgia to Green Bay. Savage Inc. said, I watched this guy every game this past year, and he is a stud. Jake mentioned him not being afraid to lay the wood. He also only had a 10.8 missed tackle percentage. That's super important to me. This is the missed tackle thing, so I'm going to bring it up with a lot of these guys. That's a pretty decent number. If you're under 10%, I'd say that's elite numbers. And then looking at him also in coverage, he allowed 53.8 completion percentage, which is pretty low, and a 34.0 passer rating in coverage. That's super low. Justin said he bullies guys and has the perfect attitude to fit with our shit talking secondary.
Let me get into this.
Jake, what do you think?
I was just talking to Simon. I was like, Simon, who's your favorite pick? And we talked about it, right? I was like, Bullard's easily mine, dude. I don't know why, but my personality just gravitates towards players that just talk an unsurmountable amount of shit. I mean, Jair Alexander. I mean, that's why I love guys like Bobby Portis on the Bucks. I mean, I love guys that talk the entire time, not front runners. They talk and they back it up, and they're tough to deal with. They get you the mentally and the physical. I mean, imagine getting absolutely walloped by a guy on a 3rd and 15, and he stands up and lets you know about it like you're not hurting. Like, that's just double whammy, dude. He's going to be awesome.
Savage Inc. said it again. Also was super pumped to be a Green Bay Packer. Yes, he was. I loved seeing those reactions of those guys being, you know, like I said, moved to the point of near tears to be Green Bay Packers. Simon, what do you think his role is going to be?
I think he, in my opinion, played better in the slot than he did as like a deep guy. I think he could come in and compete with Nixon right away as the slot guy. But I mean, I think there's going to be a lot of interchangeability. I think it's not where he's going to stay for the whole time or whatever, but I think he could very well take a lot of slot snaps this year.
Strongly agree on the interchangeable parts, and we're going to get into that when we get into some more of these picks, especially the other two safeties as far as interchangeability goes. But I agree with Jake. I think looking at OTAs and training camp is definitely going to be something to keep an eye on, because I think right now he's probably the front runner to be the starter next to Xavier McKinney. Although in OTAs, I think we're probably going to see more Anthony Johnson Jr. just because he's the guy that's been there. Mm-hmm. He's got the year of experience on him. But I think watching OTAs and training camp, keeping an eye on when Javon Bullard starts taking first-team reps before Anthony Johnson Jr. is taking first-team reps, that's going to be something I'll keep an eye on.
So I just thought of something random. I'm sorry. I might go on a tangent. I apologize. You know, for a long time, preseason really didn't mean anything to us. But now with how young our team is, and we have all these position battles and all these really important positions, preseason football is kind of lit in Green Bay.
Dude, like, I said it when we're talking about Patreon. Like, we have Patreon now, and we're talking about watch parties. When we get to August, if we throw a preseason game or two on there, it would not surprise me at all to see people voting for them.
Dude, I would honestly be down to watch a preseason Packers game because, you know, think about a guy like Bo Melton. That guy came out of nowhere. But I guarantee you he was trying to ball in preseason last year. I mean, preseason's awesome for Green Bay right now because the guy who's number 53 on the roster could come on the team and just make a huge impact for the last 6 weeks. We don't know.
Not to mention we get to see Alex Magoo playing wide receiver if he's not hurt.
But, dude, if he catches a touchdown, we all got to yell, Magoo!
Oh, dude, I'm in. Savage asks, do you think sitting most of the team is done with in preseason? I don't think they're going to sit most of the team. I think they'll sit anybody who has any sort of injury concern. And then I think everybody else is probably going to play about half.
Well, I still think that guys who take up like a large portion of the the salary cap are probably going to sit for a majority. I mean, that's kind of how it should go. Although I do think that Jordan Love's the kind of guy that wants to be out there for every single game. So I think he'll fight to get as many snaps as he can get.
Well, I mean, we talk about it too often, that there's no substitution for game reps.
Yeah.
So I read that wrong.
that was a abbreviation, not yes. But no, I'm leaning towards probably about half. Like I said, guys with injury concerns probably a little less, and a guy like Preston Smith, Kenny Clark, those guys will play maybe a series or two, if that. And then after that, they'll be turning it over to the young guys just to get the young guys more experience. Because with the Packers being young, the more experience you can get them, the better. And they're going to be doing a little bit less joint practicing. They have practices scheduled with the Broncos and Ravens, but they're only doing them for one day instead of two. Because the last couple of years, when they've been doing two-day practices, they've been getting into fights on the second day.
Yeah, we saw the one with the Patriots.
We did. One last year with the Patriots. Yep.
That was the year before with the Bengals.
Jake and I were in person for the one last year. That's what we were
doing. That was a mess. I mean, when Belichick has to come in there and be like, hey, everybody shut the hell up right now. You know what's getting out of hand, right?
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah, that was interesting. Okay. That's a good question, though. Moving into Tyron Hopper, I wanted to go first on this one because I want to say something that's less about the Tyron Hopper pick specifically, and I really want to start a dialogue here. So I personally am going to get out of the habit of calling players reaches.
Okay.
On and around draft day, specifically. We see analysts how often they're wrong. So I'm not going to claim to know better than an analyst who spends more time on this than I do, even though I spend a lot of time on it. Mm-hmm. Because like we've said before, when we do draft prep, we're not doing it to get picks right. We're doing it to learn the players and learn the league better. Mm-hmm. And two, I'm also not claiming to know more than front offices.
Yeah.
So for front office, go get your guy and we'll see how the pick turns out. So the perfect example of this from my perspective specifically is Jahmyr Gibbs. Last year, I thought Jahmyr Gibbs was a reach. Turned out to be that the Lions wanted their guy. They went and got their guy, and he was a really good pick. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to stop calling players reaches. It's what I've seen a lot of people doing with Tyron Hopper, because analysts suggested he could be a fourth-round pick or even a fifth-round pick. But the Packers took him at the back of the third. So Tyron Hopper was a finalist for the Butkus Award for the best linebacker in the country, and his missed tackle rate is high. There's no denying that. However, what is also high is his pressure rate. Mm-hmm. He had 17 pressures in 87 pass rush snaps. That's 19.5%. That's stupid high. So that's what I'm looking at with Tyron Hopper with the pick. Justin said Gary was called a reach. I love having him. And that's fair. And that's where I think we got to kind of wait for the results more than where people said he was going to go. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to claim to know more than front offices who are being paid to make these decisions. Sure, making predictions is fun, and it's fun to be right. But when it comes to something like projecting a player's performance on the day that they're drafted, I'm going to do probably less of that.
So can I piggyback off you? Before I got it. So I think it all should have stopped when a guy named Tom Brady turned into like the greatest quarterback in NFL history. And I think, you know, that was probably a good time for that. Or maybe when the Packers drafted Tony Mandrich and he was the only player in the top five that didn't make the Hall of Fame. I mean, these analysts, yes, they spend a lot of time. Savage said, I've also been proven wrong by Goody lately. And that's okay. That's going to happen. At least you're man enough or woman enough to admit it. I'll give you that credit. Yeah. A lot of people aren't even grown enough to admit that. But the thing is, why would we doubt the Packers? You don't just be good for this long for no reason. It's not by luck. It's not because we've had good quarterbacks. We've had a lot of really good players. Now, everybody wants to hyper-focus on that quarterback part because it's the most important position in football. We've had a lot of good linemen. In sports, a lot of good offensive linemen, some good linebackers, some good corners. We've had a lot of good players, wide receivers. I mean, I can't even start to name the players that we've had in my lifetime, just in my lifetime that we've had, that we drafted and developed. That's what we do in Green Bay.
Yep.
Well, why are we doing that?
Yeah.
Now,
really quick, Justin said I spend a lot of time doing research and mock drafts. Does that count? That's what we do. We're doing research. We don't do as many mock drafts. And even for the two or three that you see us post, and for the one episode of live mock drafts that we do, you might see six or seven mock drafts that collectively the four of us do.
Mm.
Each of us are probably doing dozens of them. And like I said, it's learning the names, learning the players, learning what their skill sets are, to learn what they do. So regardless of what team they end up on, we know more about them and we know more about the league as a whole as the league continues to grow and the players turn over and stuff like that. Now, as this is our fourth draft that we're covering? 21, 22, 23, 24. Yeah, this is our fourth draft that we've covered. Savage said he didn't like the love pick, or she didn't like the love pick, and now they're all in. So, yeah.
I got to tell you. One, Savage, my dad called that pick. And I tell everybody that because that's just amazing to me. I don't think anybody else in the universe called that pick. Maybe my dad was on the phone with Goot. I'm not sure. But I was like, that's crazy that you called that. But what was I going to say? Oh.
Anything else on Darren Hopper?
Yeah, I was gonna respond to Justin. Justin, your mock drafts are probably better than mine. So I'd give you a little bit more credit. Just wanted to get that out there for you. Also, Tyron Hopper, this is what I wrote down. He's an attacking linebacker. Obviously, Tyler went over some numbers. He's more of a numbers nerd than me. I mean that in the most respectful way possible. I mean that. I really do. He's an attacking linebacker. He's in coverage, but he's got really great pass rush traits. And I think that's kind of where they're going to try to use him a little bit more and a little bit more on special teams. He's going to be a situational guy, but I'm not going to give you his defined role yet, but I think that he's more of a tweener kind of guy. Look at his size and look at his skill set.
All right. Simon, what do you think about the Tyron Hopper pick?
I think this one is a little puzzling to me, at least. I'm only because of the missed tackle rate. Like, it's not every other part of his game, kind of makes sense. But like, for a team that, harps on missed tackles and stuff, it was kind of a head scratcher. But I agree with you when we're talking about what players are reaches and stuff like that, because it's all who cares, right? If the Green Bay Packers went and said, we like this, 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 and this about this guy, we want to take him, then why not? If he turns out to be a great player, is it really a reach? So to me, reaches don't – I mean, I've been kind of calling that for years now. Like, ever since I started doing these deep dives into these players and drafts and stuff, like, I've gotten away from calling players reaches, because I think when you look at a few of the picks that we made – even this year, there are reports where it's like, okay, this team was ready to pounce on this player if the Packers didn't take him. Jordan Morgan's a good one.
I'm
going to spoil it and say Evan Williams was another one where there was a bunch of scouts saying that there were other teams ready to, go up and get their guy. But going back to Tyron Hopper, though, he can slip through blocks pretty well. I don't think he necessarily takes blocks on, but he can slip through and make tackles. I think this is also another player, and you've seen Green Bay do this for the last couple of years, where they'll nab a player who had a better year prior than they did the last year. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I said spoiler alert.
Yeah,
spoiler alert. It's going to happen again.
But it's going to happen again. But like, Jaden Reed's a good example too, where he didn't have like a great 2022 season. But if you go back to his 2021 season, and you can kind of blame that a little bit on quarterback play too. But still, I think Green Bay does like giving these guys that like fall a little bit on the draft chances who showed out the year prior. So I think he kind of falls in that, where if you go back and watch his 2022 tape, it's a lot better than what he was asked to do in 2023.
Yeah, that's fair. That's a really good point. So, as far as the role for Tylan, go ahead.
Let me piggyback on something real quick. Just kind of as a thought to kind of get it out there for everybody. So we keep bringing up this missed tackle percentage, and yes, it's a thing that the Packers have probably looked at, right? But you got to think about it in those terms, right? And I like to make a lot of these like cross sport comparisons. So in baseball, when a guy's a bad hitter, like just take Bryce Terang, for example. By the way, MLB Network did a beautiful breakdown of his new swing. So he had a stance. They changed a few things on his mechanics, and now look at him. The guy just absolutely rakes. Now, if they get a guy like Tyrone Hopper, and they're like, okay, we like this part, but this is the part where he's messing up. They think they could coach that out of him, and he could turn into one of the better tacklers. Maybe that's the magic that they think they can get out of him.
And we have to remember, too, there could be a different approach to this with a new defensive coordinator now. That's something we probably should have mentioned at the top of this.
Yes.
But better late than never, I guess. Justin said some guys have droughts doesn't mean they don't have what it takes. And especially when we're talking about college football, like NFL roster turnover can be a lot. College football roster turnover, just college sports turnover in general, now that we're in the transfer portal era and the NIL era, college rosters are turning over like crazy. So you consider, you know, players around them, players they're going against, especially in the SEC, where there's, you know, a lot of powerhouse football teams. So the other thing with Tyrone Hopper is if Jeff Hafley's like, hey, you know, this guy does have a high missed tackle percentage, but I think I can fix it. That's where maybe Goody's like, okay, that's worth me spending a late third round pick to see if Hafley means that he, you know, he can do what he says. Totally speculation on my part if Hafley actually said something like that, but it's just one of those things that could be the case.
Mm-hmm.
So before we continue, I want to give Bryant's thoughts on the first three picks that he sent in. So Bryant said he loves the Cooper pick. He thinks we got the best linebacker in the draft. He thinks Bullard will be a great player alongside McKinney. And then he said he thinks we left some better talent on the board with Hopper and Williams. So as we get into Evan Williams, Simon, what did you think of the Evan Williams pick?
I'm pretty sure going back to what you were saying is I think Gutekunst was asked about his missed tackles and he said he had no concerns over it.
Okay.
So I think that was part of his post-draft press conference. I'm pretty sure I remember hearing or seeing that. Also, going back to Tyrone Hopper, I think he could compete with McDuffie. Yep. Oh, you're good.
I was about to say that, and then I was like, oh, yeah.
He could compete with McDuffie for that third linebacker in a base. And then I think he's going to be asked to play a lot of special teams as well.
Okay. Yeah, I also had him as a backup outside linebacker.
Okay. I have him as a situational pass rusher / star special teamer. I think that he could be a monster at special teams. He is fast and physical. I think he could be a monster. And if you watched any of the OTAs today, there was a lot of clips floating all over X or Twitter or whatever the hell you want to call it. I'm going to call it Twitter just for everybody's future reference.
Same thing. If you type in twitter.com, it brings it to X.
Yeah. Yes. But if you watched any of that, they were doing a lot of, you know, punching the ball out, going and getting the ball. I mean, the defense is going to attack, and that's one thing that really needed to change from last year to this year was going to get the football.
On your point on special teams, that is a fair thing to bring up. Bisaccia actually talked about that in one of his offseason press conferences, that he likes linebacker-sized players for special teams.
Yep.
Okay. Now, Simon, what do you think of Evan Williams?
Yeah, he's played a lot of ball. Like he had played 4 years at Fresno State, transferred to Oregon, played a season there, got in the draft. Another versatile safety. He had over 1,100 box snaps, 960 free safety snaps, and 600 slot. He was one of the standouts at the Senior Bowl, and he was voted as the best DB of the week by his teammates.
Steve said he just got here. Not sure if it was said, but Hopper was better last year. Simon did say it. I told him that was a good point, and I said it's going to come up again when we talk about another player. Jake, what do you think about Evan Williams?
I think that he's a guy with 4.6 speed, a 40-inch vertical, and he plays with good physicality. He's a pretty good box safety. He does get lost a little bit in when he gets too much space. But I think it was for the value, pick 111, good value.
This is the other pick that Simon was kind of referring to when he was talking about players or teams wanting players to fall. Evan Williams was the one. Jim Nagy, the director of the Senior Bowl, said that there were a lot of teams hoping he'd fall to them in the fourth round. And the Packers were able to snag him. Steve said he loves the Williams pick. I'm feeling he will be a no-brainer second contract guy. I mean, ooh, I'm down. Agrees.
Yeah, I'm down.
That's pretty bold for right now.
Yeah.
I like it.
My first thoughts when Devin Williams' pick was made, I was like, it was another safety. And I was like, okay, Goody is seeing a position of need and grabbing guys with varying skill sets and just doubling up at a position of need. And then looking at Evan Williams, he's got some pass rush ability as a safety.
Yeah.
He had 8 pressures and 20 pass rushes. That's a 40% pressure rate. When you get over a larger sample size, I wouldn't expect it to stay at 40%, but if it does, that would just be stupid. And he had 5 sacks in 20 yep. pass rushes. 25% of the time he rushed the passer, he was coming down with a sack.
Didn't he have like a – I think I was either listening or I saw this somewhere where he had like an over 92 pass rush grade by PFF the last 2 years. Like a disgusting –
I can pull it up, but just the fact that he had 5 sacks rushing the quarterback 20 times is just ridiculous.
I think my favorite one is him sacking Caleb Williams, which
I was going to bring that up too.
I'll probably see that this year too.
Because you can, if you go to the next pick, it's the same.
Yeah, I know.
His pass rush grade in 23 was 89.1, in 2022 was 75.1, in 2021 was 92.
That's sick for a DB though.
So it's blue, dark green, and dark blue.
Yeah.
After he gets past green for grades, it goes to like blue, and his is blue, dark green, and dark blue as a safety.
I feel a theme here with like a lot of these defensive picks.
Yeah, that's fair.
The Packers are going to attack this year. They are. And man, I went on a rant. I don't know if it was last year or 2 years ago. I don't remember. But I was up to here. I had it. I was done with the defense being passive. On defense, you're supposed to attack. And it's about time we go get some guys that want to go get some guys. Like, I want to hit some people, dude.
It's the way that I think we've talked about this when we talked about Jeff Hafley when he was hired for defensive coordinator. Everything that Hafley talks about, it's aggressive.
Yes.
And here's the thing. They're going to give up some big plays. It's going to happen. But that's what happens when you play aggressive. Jake and I are going to have this conversation when we talk about the Brewers tomorrow about being aggressive. Sometimes you have to live with the consequences. However, if you go back to the last time the Packers had a defensive coordinator that was going to...
No one plans for hair loss. But through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
I have them aggressive. You get into those late 2000s, early 2010s years, and those defenses were very aggressive. They were high turnover forcing defenses, and they were really exciting to watch.
Mm-hmm.
So since then, it's been a lot of bend, don't break defense, which, you know, it is what it is when you have Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback.
Yeah.
But not to say that, you know, the Jordan Love isn't capable of leading an offense that averages in the upper 30s and low 40s in points, but I don't think that's where you want to set your defense to be like, all right, if we allow 28, it's not a big deal because we're going to score 45.
Right.
So I think the Packers are looking much more like, can we hold our opponents to 20 and score 30?
That's better.
It is better, yeah. And it gives you more chances to win when you keep your opponent lower. Okay. So, Simon, did I ask you what I think what his role is going to be?
No.
I think he fits as kind of a box safety, and he'll also contribute as a special teamer right away.
Alrighty. Jake, what do you think his role is going to be?
No, I think that he'll also be a special teamer. But I don't want to give too much away, but I don't see him being like the immediate backup to either safety position.
So
probably third
string. Him with his ability to be a decent tackler and rush the pass a little bit. That was not coming out right. I think he can be, like Simon said, a box safety.
Yep.
You know, maybe playing some nickel or dime. I don't think he's going to start, and I don't think he's going to play a ton, but he's going to be on the field a pretty decent amount.
Yeah.
Justin said dogs, bullies, and goons are what our defense needed, and I think we got a few of those this year. I strongly agree. Strongly agree with that, Justin.
I think the last 2 years.
Yeah.
I mean, think about what we got up front last year. Just last year, what we got up front.
Yeah, Brooks and
dog.
I mean, Devontae Wyatt 2 years ago.
Dog.
LVN is literally the new Rashawn Gary. The guy.
You know, I think Devontae Wyatt's going to eat this year.
I agree.
I think he's going to end up convincing.
Pretty damn good last year.
He's going to end up convincing the Packers to pick up his fifth year option.
Oh, dude, our defense. Oh my god. I mean, we put enough into it, right? But man, the potential for this defense with all the athletes, and now a guy that's just like, hey, see that guy with the ball? I want you to kill him. Go kill him. Not literally.
In a video game.
Literally, like, treat him like, man, you just made me think about it. NFL Blitz 2000. Wham!
But not like after the whistle stuff. Like,
yeah.
Right. During the legal, whistle. Legal murder. During the whistle. Legal murder. But yeah, you mentioned like Carl Brooks. I mean, who was the other guy that I was trying to think of?
Wooden.
We keep forgetting about Wooden, but
man, Colby Wooden. That's the one. That's the one I couldn't remember.
He could have a crazy year too. We don't know.
Yeah. I like Colby Wooden. He had some really like flashy plays where like his play diagnosis was really, really good.
So I heard Brooks put on a little bit of weight too to fit more of that three tech.
I like that.
That could make Slayton not necessarily expendable, but like if he ends up leaving at the end of the year or playing a little bit less, you know,
he's an interesting player this year. Mm-hmm. I don't know exactly how he's going to fit in our defense.
Third and short, second and short. You're big. You stand right here.
Goal line.
Well, yeah. He'll have an interesting fit, I think.
Yeah. I think he's going to be a candidate to maybe be let go at the end of the year, just kind of let him walk. But
I think so too.
Sorry, pick for him.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's go to Kaitan Oladipo. Jake, what do you think for Oladipo? What do you think of the pick?
Great name, first of all. Great name.
Is that actually how you pronounce it?
I've heard it pronounced 74 different ways. So however your little heart pleases, say it that way.
Tyler, is this another Gasser or Gosser situation?
Bro, don't get me started on this. I'm annoyed that it happened the way that it did.
I know. That's why I was bringing it up. I'm sorry.
So if it's Kaitan or Kitan or Kitten,
It looks like
Oladipo is what I believe his last name is, not Oladipo. But if you want to say Oladipo instead of Oladipo, I don't care.
His pronunciation, even like the way it's written out, is. I might have to look this up.
I don't know. I just hope that I hear the announcer saying that picked off by their pronunciation.
Like, it's going to be number zero, whatever Oladipo decides to wear.
Apparently, he prefers the nickname KT.
That, interesting.
Bro, he fits in already.
Quick trip.
He fits in already, bro.
Quick trip. Deal.
That makes me feel so much better about what I wrote down, by the way. But anyway, 6'2", 220, 4'5", 40. He has the ability to cover tight ends.
I'm down with this also. KO. Knockout. I like it. I'm also down for that.
Justin, you better. You gotta You got to get some money for that if you like.
Put it on a t-shirt. We'll talk to Tyler.
Yeah, right. So I really like his size. I like his ability to cover tight ends. He can come down the line of scrimmage and play you close, or you can sit back and play a little bit of deep zone. So I think this was the best value pick in the draft, in my opinion, for the Packers. This was the best value pick, round 5, 169, to get a guy that I think has a high ceiling like him. Great job. I think he has a higher ceiling than Williams.
Could be.
I liked him a little bit better.
I looked at this pick and saw Goody drafting another safety. And I know I've said this on some of our shows. I know I said it during the draft and sounded this too. Goody went into the draft saying, damn it, we're going to be good at safety.
Yeah.
And that's how I felt. He's like, drafting 3 safeties. We signed the best safety on the market. We are going to be good at safety this year if it's the last thing I do. So yep. That's how I viewed the pick. Steve said he viewed some of his Senior Bowl interviews, and a lot of posts sound super sharp. Love hearing that. Next year when I go to the Senior Bowl, I will try to interview all the players that the Packers are going to draft. I did get Peter Bowden, so I got one. They didn't draft him, obviously, but I got one. I got one Packer when I was down there. Simon, what do you think of the Oladipo's brother Oladipo pick?
I don't know. I still gotta figure out how it's actually pronounced.
KT.
This was one of my favorite picks in the draft. I was really hoping, because he's a little different than the other two safeties drafted. I think they got a little bit of each type of safety in the draft. And this was, I said this last week too, is Green Bay figured out a way to just like plug the holes in the roster with guys. And they're just throwing the darts, hoping something sticks. And I think that's a fine way to do the draft, especially because we weren't like super needy on a lot of other stuff, right? It was like O-line, linebacker, safety was our main needs, and they just found guys to plug in those holes. So he's a larger safety, 6'2", 216, and he was one of the – did I say something wrong?
No.
Oh, okay. He was one of the best-run defending safeties in the draft, in my opinion. I think he has a little bit of some physical limitations as far as some of his athletic traits, but – you know, the effort and tenacity is definitely there.
I don't remember to Justin's comment. Justin said, can't wait to see him dye his hair. I think he said he wasn't going to do it green because of the rivalry of Oregon, right?
Yeah, he said he was going to do yellow.
Yeah, he's going to do yellow. So, I mean, that's going to look badass, so whatever. Maybe he could shave the G in the side. I don't know. I think that would look badass too.
Simon, to your point, yes, his run defense grade is blue. It's 91.3.
Yeah, beast.
And actually, looking at it, it's improved every single year since 2020. So,
oh, okay. So that's great. That's just
good news.
Yeah.
Steve said he could be a hybrid backer. I think with the run stopping, I think that's totally fair. Jake, what do you think for a role?
All right. So I said I think he's better than Evan Williams. I think that he's going to challenge Javon Bullard for the starting strong safety, because I think that he's more of a true strong safety. And I think that Bullard, you know, back to Simon's point, I think he can kind of flip around and play a bunch of different positions. And now, obviously, this is hard for us to do because we have absolutely zero tape on the new defense, under our new defense coordinator, Hafley, right? So we don't know where guys are going to be, where they're going to be comfortable. The first couple of weeks are going to be insanity. And then –
preseason,
we're starting in freaking Brazil. So, I mean, everything's just going to be nuts the first couple of weeks. But I think that he's more of a true strong safety. He can play some free safety, but he is a big boy. He can cover tight ends, so he's more of that traditional type, where Bullard is more of kind of a tweener, although I do like Bullard's skill set a little bit more. But I think Oladipo, whatever the hell you want to say his name is, and Bullard are going to be the guys that are going to get the lion's share of starts and playing time at that strong safety spot.
So I have a lot of Poe written down as a rotational safety. Now, while writing that, I don't want it to be like, as, oh, he's only going to play when one of the starters is tired. because, like I mentioned with Evan Williams, Goody is doubling up at a position, now tripling up at a position. And all three of these safeties that he drafted here all have different skill sets. So it's the varying skill sets for me that really actually make it. I could see all three of these guys playing similar amounts of snaps in different situations. So, and that's the thing. And when Simon brought up Bullard challenging Nixon, I think they're really just going for versatility here.
Yeah.
That you can have, you know, every single play. And we talked about this with the offense last week, where every single play, you don't have to do things differently, where everything can just keep, you know, you keep the train rolling. You don't have to do, you know, this guy can only play man defense, so we have to only play man defense when this guy's on the field, or zone defense, like, and just being able to have guys that are interchangeable, can do multiple things and have versatility, like I said, and different skill sets, and have guys that can exceed at different things, and that way be more well-rounded as a unit.
Yeah, dude, the possibilities are endless. My mind's going crazy right now thinking about all the things you can do with three safeties.
Instead of Williams and Aladapo have holes in their game, that's fine. They could be a couple one-trick ponies, but their tricks are really good. And if you can put them on the field in the right situations to maximize their effectiveness on those tricks, that's where I think you can see the Packers defense being really, really good and these guys succeeding as rookies. So, Simon, what do you think Aladapo's role is going to be?
Excuse me. I think he'll have to – this is another guy who I think he'll have to make his mark on special teams, which shouldn't be a problem. But I think he fits that, like Jake said, strong safety type. But I think he could play a lot of, like, dime linebacker as well. He has that bigger size, or maybe part of the big nickel package or something along those lines.
Yeah, I can see that. Justin said we need more Preston Smiths that can play all the positions on the field.
Let's go, baby.
I know you're being sarcastic, but people got to give Preston more credit than he gets.
I appreciate the sarcasm, though. I'm not going to lie to you.
I appreciate the sarcasm and Preston Smith.
Yes. True.
Okay, so Kalen King, the Packers' last defensive selection, he reminded me of the Carrington Valentine pick from last year.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at a guy who could have gone earlier in the draft but fell to the seventh round. And Simon, before talking about players who were really good the year before, Kalen King was a second team All-Pro,
the college version of
All-American. It? All-American. That's the.
I didn't know if you wanted a conference or All-American.
All-American. Justin said he's never sarcastic. Me neither. Second team All-American, not All-Pro. That's NFL. So second team All-American in 2022, in my opinion, Simon and I were talking about this before the show, I think he would have been probably a day two pick if he had come out of the draft in 2023. So looking at that, in 2023, he did allow a 61% completion percentage, which is still relatively low. But in 2022, he allowed a 45.8% completion percentage and a 48.9 passer rating with 9 pass breakups and 3 interceptions. So while he wasn't as good in 2023, he was very, very good in 2022. Steve said people forget how Jamal Adams was never a great cover safety, but he was special as a box safety. Just give a solid play as a day three box safety. Totally down for that. Simon, what do you think of the Kalen King pick?
Yeah, I think you alluded to a lot of what I was going to say, but also I think he plays really good man press. He's a man press corner. And I think moving on towards Halfley system, they're going to be playing a lot more of that man press, which I think fits more of the style for all the cornerbacks we have. You know, that's very much up Carrington Valentine, Eric Stokes, and Jair's. Right up their alley. So to stick another guy in there who you spent a seventh round dart at, who maybe had a little bit of a down year, but the year prior was one of the best, you know, corners in the nation. I think that's a recipe that will take all day in the seventh round.
100%. Steve said King will be a great depth piece as a slot corner, very decisive when attacking the line of scrimmage. Jake, what do you think on Kalen King?
Yeah, so he's good man coverage. I don't know if you heard that before, but that was the first thing that I wrote down, that he's good in man coverage. he hasn't given up a touchdown in 2 years. Let that sink in for a second.
PFF credited him with one allowed, but...
Yeah, in 2022.
Well, the thing I looked up said he didn't give him a touchdown.
ESPN said zero. PFF said one, so
okay. Well,
give him a half.
Potato, tomato.
F you, PFF.
Yeah, exactly that.
I think he's a guy who's really talented, who fell in the draft. And what usually happens to those people? They have a chip on their shoulder.
Really good.
Right? So I like guys that have chips on their shoulder because they go out there with something to prove. There's a lot of competition, a lot of snaps that are going to be left out there. It's still a very young cornerback room outside of – I mean, Stokes is mid-age right now, but he's been banged up. And Jair is really the only veteran in that room still. So there's a lot of
Stokes ain't even that old because he was super young when and then the Packers picked him.
21 when they drafted him?
He's 21. He's 24 now, or maybe going to be 24.
Right. But, you know, I mean, still a really young room. I mean, Ballantyne – Ballantyne's interesting. He has some kick return experience. He was also pretty good, okay, in coverage. I mean, you go to Ballantyne. I mean, there's opportunity there for King to kind of take some snaps if he shows out in the preseason and in these OTAs. So I think he's a perfect guy, if nothing else. Perfect guy that go into this room and learn from a Jair Alexander.
No, we were definitely wrong on Stokes. He's 25.
Oh, what?
Yeah. He just turned 25, but yes, he's 25.
Okay.
Justin said King is going to surprise a lot of people, and the players on the team already seem to like him. And Steve said Halfley could be a great coordinator for these young DBs. Looking at Kalen King, we did cornerback as one of our areas of draft prep, and we were all pretty high on a lot of them. And people were like, oh my God, why didn't the Packers draft Cooper DeJean when they could have, or traded up for him and taken him when he was falling?
Mm-hmm.
I really think that the Packers believe that Eric Stokes is going to be healthy this year.
Yep.
And he's in OTAs, healthy, like no restrictions. The same with Christian Watson. They both had hamstring injuries. Mm-hmm. I think Matt LaFleur took that really seriously, as evidenced by sending them to Madison to have testing done, to learn things about soft tissue injuries, and hiring a new strength and conditioning staff, that they're really taking a lot of these things seriously. Not to say that they wouldn't have in previous years, but putting extra focus on things like that. So I really think that they believe that Eric Stokes is going to be healthy this year and can recapture how well he played in his rookie year. Justin said Nixon tweeted that King should not have been a seventh round pick. Like I said, if he had come out in 2023 instead of 2024, I think he would have been probably a day two pick.
I think Sauce Gardner said the same thing.
On YouTube, Afam said, I hope these safeties can play D-line. I think they'll be okay on the D-line.
We'll be okay at D-line. We have a couple of former first-round picks up there. We'll be okay.
I'm not that concerned about our D-line.
No. I don't know why anybody would be.
Rotations are going to be a little interesting to figure out in the first couple weeks. But
other than I think the future of the D-line is an interesting conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as going in here,
I'm excited to see Lucas Van Ness play defensive end.
Yeah.
I mean, year two in the NFL, so he understands the physicality. I'm talking about LVN right now. In an entirely new system where he's going to have – I mean, quarterbacks are going to have to start getting this ball out quick, right, because he's been going against man coverage all day, right? But if we have if we get some coverage sacks, I think that's definitely a possibility with how quick Gary and LVN can be off the line. Clark can absolutely collapse the pocket from the inside. I mean, the D-line to me is not a problem. Now, the future, like Simon said, that's a great question. Because, you know, Clark's not going to play forever, even though it feels like he has already.
I feel like he's been 26 for 5 years in a row.
Yeah, right? He's been the next up for the last 5 years as well. So we're going to have to hope that some guy turns into a stud. But other than that, I think that they're pretty set up front.
Steve asked, do you guys see any free agents mixed in come June?
No.
I mean, they might grab a guy here or there.
Maybe like, an outside linebacker if they don't think that McDuffie is down to be a starter in a 4-3.
That's fair. I don't see it.
And that's why maybe.
It's just, it's really hard with this many, was it 35 draft picks in the last 3 years or whatever the case is?
To be able to all made the team. Justin said he just got his Lucas Van Ness jersey in last month. Dig it. Did you get it two sizes too small like he wears his?
It just looks that way. It just looks that way. His arms are too big.
Simon, what do you think Kalen King's role is going to be?
I think he Kalen King's interesting because he has zero. I'm pretty sure he has zero special team snaps in his career. So coming in, and you're really going to have to make your mark somehow. And I think he'll be kind of competing for Ballantyne as like kind of a back of the roster CB.
Yeah, definitely worth a seventh round pick.
Oh, and yeah.
Like some of the other guys were saying, some of the guys on the Packers defense were saying that he should have been a higher pick than the seventh round. Steve brought up Jaden Reed saying that he should have been a higher pick too. Jaden Reed was at Michigan State when Kalen King was at Penn State. So they have played against each other before. Jake, what do you think Kalen King's role is going to be?
Another thing, King is from the Detroit area, so maybe he knew him from there. It's hard.
Justin said his is only too small in the belly. Beer has done a number on me. It'd be like that sometimes.
I respect that. I think that – this is what I wrote down. Okay, I'll just read what I wrote down. I was having different thoughts because you guys are making me think. This is why I love this. I think that he's going to be a stash guy. I think that he's going to be talented enough where they're going to be like, we can't let this guy go, but we can't just put him down here so somebody can steal him, right? We can't let him get sniped. But I think that he's going to be a guy that they're going to kind of let Jair teach him and show him the ways. That's really what I think is going to happen.
I'm with that. People are now going to interpret your comments as you think the Packers are going to trade Jair in 2 years. So
no. That's not what I'm saying. I don't want that.
Okay, so Brian's thoughts on the later picks. He said he thinks Kalen King could be a steal and would have been a second or third rounder last year with the way he played in 2022. I don't know if I'd go as high as second. I would say third. And then he said he will be playing snaps in the slot by the end of the year is his bold prediction. So Bryant is looking at him maybe taking some snaps from Keyshawn Nixon. Steve said there's Snacks Harrison and then there's Pints Eastham.
Yeah. See, I don't know if I agree with the slot.
I don't think so. He's not a slot guy.
I think he's an played outside
almost
guy.
Exclusively outside, I believe.
Yeah. And I feel like he's a little too erratic in the run game for them to put him inside like that. Yeah. I'm not saying it couldn't happen, but I don't know. He hasn't taken a ton of slot snaps.
I'll be honest too. I haven't watched enough film on him to be able to discern if I think he'd be good at like diagnosing screens and things like that. Like we saw last year, even week one, Keyshawn Nixon being really good at diagnosing screens. He blew up a couple of them against the Bears. He just got to make the tackle every time. So I think, yeah, looking at his snaps, he played 481 total snaps and only 21 in the slot. And 16 of those 21 came in one game.
Oh, damn.
Wow. So essentially over 12 games, he played 15 slot snaps. Yeah. Justin said, roll out the barrel is about my stomach.
Right, I'm thinking about you every time at American Family Field.
Oh, this is what Justin was talking about. Okay.
Roll out the barrel. Oh, great song, by the way.
So, yeah, I think I agree with you, Simon. I don't think he's going to be playing any slot, but. No. You look at maybe rotating him, Ballantyne on the edge across from Jair and having Nixon and Stokes to play the slot. I think there's a lot worse positions you could be in.
Oh, yeah.
Steve said you're on a roll. Jesus. The guy's just taking over the comment section talking about being
He's kind of bringing it on himself, to be honest with you.
Steve's just enabling it.
Steve, you're a bad person. Stop.
Okay. Anything else that anybody wants to say on any of the defensive picks?
Simon?
Mm.
Speak now or forever, hold your peace.
I think the biggest competition is that long snapper this year. Let's go.
Okay.
Dude, I said it last week. You don't think about long snapper until it's a goddamn problem.
It's a problem. So.
Just give me a guy to snap the damn ball.
It's a problem.
Jake, any thoughts, comments, questions, concerns?
I got no concerns, man. I'm all optimistic over here. I am so excited for this defense, dude. Yeah. It's been a long time coming. I just want to just destroy every team. And I hope that we shut out the Bears 100-0 this year, because that would literally be the most hilarious thing of all time. I've been arguing with Bears fans for so many weeks now. It's ungodly that they're this happy. I'm like, you guys realize that your team is the world champions every offseason at selling hopium. There's no other team that gets their team.
Like 2 days ago.
I literally was arguing with a guy. He was like, because the Long brothers were doing season predictions, right? And which one was it that played for him? Not Chris. Jake. The other one. Was it Jake Long? I don't remember. But anyways, he was like a right guard and he was okay for a little while. But he was like, you know, I'm going to predict the Bears season. Blah, blah, blah. We're going to split with the Packers. I'm like, bro, you guys have been saying this for like 900 years. It hasn't happened for the last five. So it's not happening.
It's Kyle Long.
It was Kyle Long. And one of the, I was like, okay, this, I commented, I said, this video got really dumb when you said you're splitting with the Packers. And a Bears fan comes at me and says, the game, the last week of the season was really close. I was like, dude, the Packers were like two plays away from literally stomping your ass out. And he was like, yeah, but you didn't execute. I'm like, dude, you guys didn't even have 200 yards. What are you talking about right now? You have a rookie quarterback. Like, what are we doing right now? You guys don't see us till like week 11. We're going to have all the film on you. All of the film.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I thought it was pretty interesting. They saved the Bear. You know, the Bears schedule has them playing all their the division opponents in like the last 8 weeks.
Yeah.
Or something crazy. They're
actually targeting that more going forward.
That's crazy.
To have higher stakes games later on in the season.
Justin, I'm glad you brought that up. I wanted to talk about this. So Tucker Kraft got married on Saturday. Shows up today with a sling on his arm. That man was living his best life. And I could not be happier for him, honestly. Let him live, dude. Let him freaking have a good time. He knows the offense. He's not going to be, you know, fighting for snaps. He's solidified as tight end 1/2.
They expected him and Zach Tom ready for training camp.
Yeah, so people were like, ooh, he's just messing around. He's not taking a seat. Shut up. Just shut up right now.
Steve, getting closer to what I was going to get at. So Spofford, Mike Spofford, we've had him on the show a bunch of times. He's awesome. Just had an insider inbox, dude comments, Bears better. I'm like, my response was, dog, don't you ever get tired of tweeting this stuff? Like, don't the tears make it hard to type? Oh. And his response was, ain't no more tears, unk. I'm like, LOL on your third savior in 7 years.
Oh.
And he said, still better than Jordan Love. And I said, man, the Cobium hitting hard already, and it's not even June.
Oh,
boy. Every year it's like this.
Wasn't Justin Fields supposed to win the MVP last year?
Justin Fields was supposed to be the next Lamar Jackson.
Now he's a kick returner. Now he's a kick returner, dude.
Yeah, fun.
They drafted a kick returner with a 10th overall pick.
And, yeah, Steve brought up Nick Wright, saying that Caleb Williams is taking them to the Super Bowl. Bears fans are eating it up. I used to respect Nick Wright's opinion a lot.
Yeah.
What's that other dude's name that whatever? I think it's on Fox or some stuff that always predicts the Bears to win like double digits every year.
Adam Rank.
Yeah, that's
he
it.
He works for NFL Network. He
That's right, NFL Network.
He's a moron. That guy is a moron.
It's so funny seeing like people that obviously have a biased opinions and people like cling on to them so hard. It's like the same idiots that tweet out Hurd's opinion.
Yeah.
And Adam Rank. And that I think that dude gets an MVP vote, bro, if I'm not mistaken.
No.
I think how sad that is.
I think he does.
No.
Yeah.
As a media member, I think he does.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, it's bad, dude. Well, anywho, I didn't mean to go off on a tangent like that, but God, Bears fans, please, you know, there's a saying, you know, you can make mistakes, just learn from them, but clearly you guys are choosing to act like idiots. Just stop.
I don't know. Like, I don't know. I think I understand at some point you have to have optimism that your team's going to turn stuff around, but like,
and I get like,
there's okay, sort of a
difference.
Limit.
There's a difference in the way that people carry themselves on this.
So oh,
the NFL picks different media members every year, but there's a different
way why they're excited. But you know, and I told this guy in the comments, I said, you know, by the time that you play us, Swift is probably going to have a turf toe. I mean, who's the other one they got? Allen is probably going to have a hamstring issue because he's 1,000 years old. And I was like, I'm not wishing injuries on anybody, but history is history, and those guys have a history of it, right? Now, Watson could be out, but we have 10,000 wide receivers. I mean, we just made a backup quarterback turn into a wide receiver. That's how many wide receivers we have. Think about that. It's not close. We're gonna dog walk them, in my opinion.
All righty. Well, other than that, Jake and I are going to be back tomorrow. Again, if anybody's in weather-affected areas, like me now, stay safe. And Jake and I will see you tomorrow, assuming weather cooperates. But other than that, we will see you guys tomorrow, and see you then.
See ya.